بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فسورة الفاتحة هي أعظم سورة في القرآن الكريم، وأفضل سورة في كتاب الله عز وجل، ولا إشكال في تفضيل آية الكرسي على سائر آيات القرآن، فإنها أفضل آية. أما الفاتحة فأفضل سورة، فالفاتحة أفضل السور، وآية الكرسي أفضل الآيات، وكلاهما يشتمل على التوحيد. فسورة الفاتحة اشتملت على التوحيد، لذلك فهي أفضل سورة، وآية الكرسي اشتملت على التوحيد كذلك. فسورة الفاتحة اشتملت على أنواع التوحيد الثلاثة: الحمد لله رب العالمين، هذا توحيد الربوبية، الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين، هذا توحيد الأسماء والصفات، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، هذا توحيد العبادة، توحيد الإلهية، توحيد الطلب والقصد. وسورة وآية الكرسي كذلك افتتحت بالتوحيد وختمت بالتوحيد: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، اشتملت كذلك على توحيد الإلهية وعلى توحيد الأسماء والصفات وعلى توحيد الربوبية. فهنا يتضح لك أن التفضيل لاشتمالهما على التوحيد، فالتوحيد هو أعظم العبادات، أعظم الطاعات، التوحيد هو أعظم الإصلاح وهو أعظم العدل، التوحيد هو حق الله على العبيد وهو أولى من حقوق البشر وأولى من حقوق البقر وأولى من حقوق البيض أو السود وأولى من حقوق الجاليات وأولى من حقوق النساء وأولى من حقوق الشجر. فالناس اليوم يطالبون بحقوق الشجر، بحقوق النباتات، يطالبون بحقوق البقر، يطالبون بحقوق النساء، يطالبون بحقوق كل شيء إلا بحق الله سبحانه وتعالى الذي هو أعظم الحقوق. حق الله سبحانه هو أعظم الحقوق، كما ثبت في حديث معاذ رضي الله عنه لما سأله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا معاذ، أتدري ما حق الله على العباد؟ ثم أجابه: حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا. الذين يطالبون بالإصلاح ويطالبون بالعدل، التوحيد هو أعظم الإصلاح، التوحيد هو أعظم العدل. الذين يطالبون بالفضائل، التوحيد هو أعظم الفضائل. فلاشتمال سورة الفاتحة على التوحيد وآية الكرسي على التوحيد فضلتا على سائر القرآن، وإن كان القرآن كلام الله سبحانه، وإن كان القرآن خيرا من أوله إلى آخره، إلا أن بعضه أفضل من بعض. فالله جل في علاه فضل آية الكرسي على سائر الآيات، وفضل سورة الفاتحة على سائر السور.
The Sheikh, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by sending the salutations of peace and blessings upon the last and the final messenger and prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said concerning today's talk, we're going to talk about Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha, ikhwan, is the greatest surah of the Quran. And Surah Al-Fatiha is the best of the surahs, a chapter, the book of Allah. And there is no doubt or no ishkal, there is no problem, no doubt, that Ayatul Kursi is the greatest single ayat of the Quran. There's no doubt about that. But we're talking about Surah Al-Fatiha being the greatest chapter or surah of the Quran. And the wisdom in that is that both of these, Ayatul Kursi and Surah Al-Fatiha, both of them have included the important topic of At-Tawheed. Surah Al-Fatiha has in it lessons and it includes At-Tawheed. And Ayatul Kursi also has all of the teachings of At-Tawheed. In Surah Al-Fatiha we have all of the anwa', all of the different kinds, levels of At-Tawheed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all praises are due to Allah, the Lord of all the world, that's a proof of the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And then in the next ayat, when Allah ta'ala said, Allah is the most merciful, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and He is the owner of the Day of Judgment, this is the Tawheed of the Asma of Allah and His Sifat. And then when Allah ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatiha, do we worship and your aid we seek, this is the Tawheed of al-Talab, the Tawheed of al-Qasd, the Tawheed of al-Uluhiyyah. So Surah Al-Fatiha includes all of the different branches of a Tawheed. Similarly, Ayatul Kursi is the same situation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began Ayatul Kursi, He said, La ilaha illa huwa. Allah is the one who there is no God worthy of worship except Him. And He is the living, the one who is Al-Qayyum. He does not sleep nor does slumber overtake Him. So all of those ayat in this surah, all of those words in this ayat, they include the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Uluhiyyah in the beginning, and Al-Hayyul Qayyum is from the Asma of Allah. And the fact that He doesn't sleep and slumber doesn't overtake Him is from the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and characteristics. And the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is contained in the last portion of the ayah. So now we find that the virtues of Ayatul Kursi and Surah Al-Fatiha come as a result of this issue of a Tawheed being inside of both of these illustrious aspects of the Quran. We say that a Tawheed, brothers, is the greatest form of worship, and it is the greatest issue in our religion and in our lives. It is the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over His servant, and it is the greatest right that needs to be dealt with and looked into. It is greater than the right that the servants have over each other. It is greater than the right that the women have. It is greater than the right that the cow has. It is greater than the right of anything that you can possibly think about. We find people today who are standing up and defending and calling for the rights of the tree. People who are calling that the trees should be protected, the ecology should be looked after. There are people who stand up and they want to get the rights of the cow, the rights of women, the rights of people. The Sheikh went on to say, what there is no doubt about is that the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they more than anything are the things that should be looked into. And from the greatest rights of Allah is the right that He has of a Tawheed, that He has made to be one in His worship. Like it has been authentically established in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, do you know the right that Allah has over the servant? And then Mu'adh said, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the right that Allah has over His servant is that they do not, that they worship Him alone, and that they do not establish any partners along with Him. So those people who come forth and they act and they seek to have rights taken care of and they want islah, and they want to call and protect the right, the virtue, the most virtuous right, and the thing that brings the most islah is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Suratul Fatiha and Ayatul Kursi, both of them, they have been given this supremacy and superiority in the Quran as a result of this issue. And there is no doubt that all of the Quran is virtuous and all of the Quran is good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has made Suratul Fatiha the greatest surah of the Quran. And He is the one who has made Ayatul Kursi the greatest ayat of the Quran. But all of the Quran, no doubt, is virtuous.
بل القرآن كله توحيد من أوله إلى آخره، والتوحيد هو حق الله على العبيد، ومن ضيع هذا الحق فلا فائدة في أي شيء يفعله بعد ذلك. ولعلك بهذا السبب تعلم أن الصلاة، وهذا من الحكم التي في سورة الفاتحة، أن الصلاة لا تقبل إلا بالفاتحة، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. كأن الله عز وجل يقول لعباده: لا تقبل الصلاة إلا من موحد. الحمد لله، لا تقبل الصلاة إلا من موحد. فهذه السورة، سورة الفاتحة، وهي أم القرآن، أم الكتاب، السبع المثاني، القرآن العظيم، هي الصلاة وهي الفاتحة. هذه السورة العظيمة لا تصح الصلاة إلا بها. سبحانك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا أكرم الأكرمين، كأنه سبحانه يقول: إن الصلاة لا تقبل إلا من موحد. بل كأنه يخبرنا جل في علاه أنه لا تقبل طاعة مطلقا إلا من موحد. فالمشرك الذي يجعل مع الله آلهة أخرى، يسجد للشمس مع الله، يدعو الأنبياء والأولياء مع الله، يذبح للقبور وللأشجار مع الله، ينذر للأموات مع الله، هذا المشرك لا يقبل الله منه صلاة ولا صياما ولا زكاة ولا حجا ولا طاعة، لا يقبل الله طاعة من مشرك مهما عمل، حتى ولو بلغت أعماله عنان السماء، لو كانت أعماله من الأرض إلى السماء لا يقبلها الله عز وجل، حتى لو كانت تلك الأعمال في نفسها خالصة لله وهو يشرك بالله ويجعل له أندادا، الله لا يقبل تلك الأعمال الأخرى الصالحة الخالصة، لأن الشرك يفسد كل شيء. قال تعالى مخاطبا نبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين، بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين. لئن أشركت، ولقد أوحي إليك، إليك الخطاب لمن؟ للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإلى الذين من قبلك، لئن أشركت في تاء الخطاب، ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين. ومعلوم أن الشرك لا يقع من محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فما فائدة هذا الخطاب؟ فائدته ألا يبقى لأحد من الناس كلام ولا حجة، يقول أنا لي خصوصية أنا مسلم موحد، لو وقع الشرك مني فلا بأس علي. لا، قد قيل لمن هو أفضل منك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك. فما بقي كلام لإنسان. واحد يقول أنا من الأولياء، والثاني يقول أنا من الأنبياء، والثالث يقول ولا الأنبياء ولا أحد، لا يخص من هذا أحد. قد ذكر الله جماعة من الأنبياء ثم قال بعد ذكر أسمائهم في كتابه ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون، أي لو فرض أنه قد وقع منهم الشرك لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون، لحبطت جميع أعمالهم، فلا يقبل الله منهم عملا. فهؤلاء وهم الصفوة خيرة الخلق وسادة الناس، لو فرض أنه وقع منهم شرك لا ينفعهم أنهم أنبياء، لا ينفعهم أنهم أصفياء. فالشرك يحبط جميع الأعمال ممن كان، لا خصوصية في هذه المسألة لأحد من الناس ولا خصوصية لأمة من الأمم. فلا ينبغي أن يغتر أحدنا يقول أنا واصل أو أنا مرضي عند الله أو الله عز وجل قد غفر لي أو أن الله يحبني أو أن الله عز وجل جعل لي مكانة خاصة أو أن الأنبياء سيشفعون لي أو أن الملائكة ستأخذ بيدي أو ما إلى ذلك من الأمور. لا ينفع المشرك عذر، لا ينفع المشرك حجة، لأن الله أرسل الرسل وأنزل الكتب رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. فلا يجوز أن ترفع مخلوقا عن رتبته، لا يجوز أن تسوي مخلوقا بالخالق ولو في صفة من صفاته ولو في فعل من أفعاله ولو في جزء بسيط، لا يجوز أن تسوي المخلوق بالخالق. فالشرك هو تسوية غير الله بالله. ما الدليل على هذا التعريف للشرك؟ قال الله سبحانه وتعالى مبينا قول المشركين يوم الدين: تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. سووا عيسى بالله عز وجل، سووا محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بالله سبحانه، سووا الملائكة بالله عز وجل، بل سووا البقر والشجر والحجر والشمس والقمر بالله جل في علاه. فسجدوا للشمس من دون الله ودعوا الأموات سواء أكانوا من الأنبياء أو الأولياء من دون الله، سووا غير الله بالله. وهذا هو معنى الشرك، أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، ندا أي شبيها قريبا مساويا مماثلا، ندا أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، كما في حديث ابن مسعود الذي في الصحيحين أنه سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أي الذنب أعظم؟ قال: أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that the Quran, all of it is a tawheed. It calls to a tawheed from the beginning of it to the end of it. And tawheed is the right that Allah Azza wa Jalla has over his servant. And anyone from amongst his servants, if they were to lose this tawheed, then there would be no benefit in their lives whatsoever. And there would be no benefit in addition to that concerning all of the actions that they do. We need to know, we understand, and we need to understand that from the wisdom of the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha is that your prayer will not be accepted if you make your salat without reading Surah Al-Fatiha. This is from the wisdom of this particular surah. That your prayer will not be accepted when you make it if you don't read Surah Al-Fatiha, as it has been authentically established for us. When the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, there is no salat for the one who does not read with the Fatiha of the book, the opening of the book. The hadith said that there is no salat, there is no prayer for the one who does not read with the Fatiha of the book, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is as if Allah Ta'ala is saying in this issue, and that He has legislated this legislation, it is as if Allah is saying that the prayer will not be accepted except from the person who is a muwahid, the person who has a tawheed. So if you don't read Surah Al-Fatiha, which contains and consists of the three different branches of a tawheed, is as if Allah Ta'ala is saying the prayer will only be accepted from a muwahid. This surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, it is the mother of the Quran, and it is the Umul Kitab, from the names that the Shaykh was saying, that it is the Umul Quran and the Umul Kitab. It's the mother of the Quran and the mother of the book. And it is also the seven oft repeated verses. And it is also the Quran Al-Azim. And it is also called As-Salat. Surah Al-Fatiha is called As-Salat. And also it is called Al-Fatiha. And this surah that we have here and that we're talking about today, your actions will not, or your salat will not be accepted except that you bring it and you read it. So the Shaykh said, glory be unto you, Allah, the one who is the most merciful of those who have mercy. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, ikhwan, that our worship and our obedience, our ta'at, none of it will be accepted except from a person who has a tawheed. And the one who has a tawheed, he is the one who is referred to and he is called a muwahid. As for the mushrik, the polytheist, the one who makes sajda, he makes prostration to the sun, and he calls on and he makes dua and supplication to the awliya, or he is the one who makes dua and prayer towards the grave, or towards trees, or he makes another or oath with other than Allah. He takes oath and he makes his oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the actions of the polytheist. And the one who falls into it is a polytheist. And as such, his ta'at, his obediences will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His prayer won't be accepted, his fast won't be accepted, his hajj won't be accepted, his ta'at, or the things that he does in terms of trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what it is and no matter how much he does, it's not going to be accepted, even if he did so many deeds and actions of obedience that those deeds and those actions were to reach the sky. If they were to reach and go past into the sky, and even if he did them with sincerity, he did these actions and he was sincere in doing them, he didn't do them to show off, he did them in sincerity, but inside of his belief system, he has made in his heart, he has made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a partner. Even if his actions reached the sky and he was sincere in doing them, but in his heart, in his understanding, in his mind, he is making partners with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept from him any of his actions, because this is shirk. And shirk, what it does is it destroys the action. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily it has been revealed to you, Muhammad, and to those who came before you, that if you were to make shirk with me, you were to make some partners along with me, Allah is saying, that you will be from those, that your deeds will be destroyed, and you will be from the khasirin, you will be from the losers. So establish my worship and be from the shakirin. Allah Ta'ala told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, verily it has been revealed to you, Muhammad, and to those who came before you, that if you were to make partners and make shirk with me, then I will destroy your deed. That shirk would destroy your deed, and you will be of those who are the losers. So worship Allah and be from those who are the thankful ones, the shakirin. The Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was telling the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this, and he told the prophets and messengers who came before him this, to show us that the shirk destroys the actions and the deeds of a person. And it is a well-known fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never, ever, ever fall into shirk. It's not something that has happened, nor is it going to happen, or could it happen. But what is the benefit of the ayah? The benefit of the ayah is a hujjah, or an argument. And it is a proof upon the people that no one will have the right to come and say, well, I'm a Muslim, or I have some special position, or I have some special understanding, or I'm from the awliya of Allah. No one will have the ability to come and say this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest one from amongst his ummah, that if he was to make shirk, then his deeds will be destroyed and he will be of the losers. So everyone who comes after him as a result, he is also going to be open for this particular threat. The person cannot come and say, I am from the awliya of Allah, or I am from the anbiya. If that was the case, it would be said to him, no matter what your case is and what you're saying, this ayat is applicable to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another ayat, showing us this, when he was referring to the other prophets and the messengers. And he said, Azza wa Jal, and if you were to make shirk with me, I would destroy your deeds and all of what you used to do. So now, if it was and if it is possible that a prophet or a messenger could fall into making shirk, this ayah clearly establishes that the shirk is something that will render a person's deeds null and void. So even if you are from the best of the people, the most righteous of the people, if you claim to be from the anbiya or from the purest of the people, and you claim that you had some particular khususiyah or special characteristic or position, these ayahs show and they prove in clear, perfect detail that no one, irregardless of who he is in a position to fall into shirk, except that the shirk will render your deeds null and void, and it will destroy what you have put forth. So there is no shakh, there is no personality who has a special place, nor is there any ummah, any nation or community who can fall into shirk and make a claim that we have a special place, we can fall into the shirk, and then they can be excused or exempt. This is not the case. So therefore, do not let anyone get fooled into thinking that it is enough for him to say, I'm a Muslim, and because of that alone, I'm going to get the shafa'ah or the intercession of the anbiya, or that the malaika are going to come and take me by my hand, or that I'm going to somehow or some way be able to get past the evil of the shirk that I have committed. The Shaykh said that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent the messengers, and he has revealed the book in order to do what? In order to clarify, to make clear to the people the evil of this shirk. Allah Ta'ala said, and verily we have sent messengers and warners in order to warn the people to stay away from worshiping other than Allah. In the other ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have not sent any messengers before you except that we have revealed to them that Allah is the only God worthy of worship, to worship Him and stay away from the taghut, everything that is worshipped other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala has made it clear in these ayat the importance of staying away from shirk, and that when the kuffar, the mushrikun, fall into their shirk, they're going to see the reality of the case, and no one is going to be exempt if he's a non-Muslim. Allah told us, when he will have the discussion, and these words will be said to the mushrikeen, Allah Ta'ala said that they say, Tallahi, we swear by Allah, verily we were in clear dalala. We were in the dalala mubin, in the clear dalala, when we made people equal with the Lord of all the world. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us the statement of the mushrikeen who swear by Allah that they were in manifest error when they made equals with the Lord of all the world. So the people have made equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa ibn Maryam. They have made equal to Allah ta'ala, Muhammad. They have made equal to Allah, the malaika, the baqara or the cow. They have made equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trees and rocks. And they made equal to Allah and with Allah, the sun and the moon. There are people who make sajda to the sun, they prostrate to the sun. And yet others make dua and make supplication to people who are dead in their graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And if you take any form of worship and you give it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is shirk. And this is from the oppression that is not excused. The fact that you will make with Allah ta'ala a nidd, that you will make with Allah a partner, and the nidd is a partner, to make someone equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it has been authentically narrated to us in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by this illustrious companion, for he asked him, what is the greatest sin that a person can commit? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you make with Allah a nidd. The greatest sin that you can commit is that you make with Allah a partner, and Allah is the one who has created you.
أي الذنب أعظم؟ كثير منا يجيب بأنه الشرك، لكن كثير منا لا يتصور ذلك. كيف؟ هل نتصور حقا وصدقا أن الشرك أعظم من كل الذنوب على الإطلاق؟ الشرك أعظم من كل الذنوب على الإطلاق. الذي يقول يا عيسى، أو يقول يا جبريل، أو يقول يا محمد صلى الله عليهم السلام، الذي يقول هذا أعظم ذنبا من الزاني، الذي يقول يا محمد يدعو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع الله أعظم ذنبا من الزاني، أعظم ذنبا من السارق، أعظم ذنبا من قاتل النفس عمدا، بل أعظم ذنبا ممن قتل من في الأرض جميعا. هل نتصور ذلك؟ كنت في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية قبل أقل من شهر، وذهبت إلى مدينة يقال لها روشستر في الشمال على حدود كندا. فلما ذهبت هنالك ألقيت خطبة الجمعة عن التوحيد وعن النهي عن الشرك، فقلت في الخطبة إن الشرك أعظم من كل الذنوب حتى من قتل النفس. فبعد الصلاة سألني بعض المسلمين، قالوا كيف وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. فظن هذا السائل أنه ما دام القاتل لنفس واحدة كأنما قتل الناس جميعا أن هذا هو أعظم الذنوب. قلت له هذا الذي ذكرته صحيح، من قتل نفسا واحدة بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا، والذي يقول يا محمد أعظم ظلما من ذلك. الرجل انتفض ورجع إلى الخلف لما سمع أن الذي يقول يا رسول الله أعظم ذنبا ممن قتل الناس جميعا؟ الرجل انتفض، ما تصور ذلك. كثير من المسلمين لا يتصورون هذا، لا يتصورون أن الشرك أعظم من قتل النفس، والفتنة أشد من القتل، والفتنة هي الشرك. لا يتصورون أن الشرك أعظم من قطع الطريق والإجرام وبيع المخدرات، لا يتصورون أن الشرك أعظم من الزنا وشرب الخمر، لا يتصورون هذا. ماذا صنع هذا الرجل فقط؟ هو محب للرسول، محب لجبريل، محب لعيسى، ما صنع شيئا. لا يعلمون أن الدعاء خاص بالله عز وجل، وأن المساجد لله، فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا، وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. فالمساجد بنيت في الأرض لتعظيم الله وحده، والدعاء فيها يكون لله وحده، فمن دعا غير الله مع الله فقد جعله لله ندا، ولو كان هذا الأحد محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو كان هذا الأحد عيسى عليه السلام، ولو كان هذا الأحد جبريل عليه السلام، فكيف إذا كان شمسا أو قمرا أو نجما أو بقرا أو قردا أو حجرا؟ هذا أعظم وأعظم. لا فرق في الشرك بين أن تدعو نبيا وبين أن تدعو حجرا. دعاء غير الله شرك، ولو دعوت من كان. فلا تدعو، فلا للنهي، فلا تدعو مع الله أحدا، وأحدا هنا نكرة وهي في سياق نهي، وهذا عند الأصوليين وعلماء اللغة يفيد العموم، لا يستثنى أحد من ذلك. فلا تدعو مع الله أحدا. المشرك أعظم ذنبا ممن ينكح أمه، المشرك أعظم ذنبا ممن يأتي محارمه، لا نتصور ذلك وإن كنا نقر به، نقول نعم هو صحيح الشرك أعظم الذنوب، لكن لا نتخيل. لعل بعضنا لو عرف أن شخصا يأتي محارمه لقتله، لكن هو مع المشرك يتلطف ويقول يعني ما في مشكلة، ولكل وجهة هو موليها، لكم دينكم ولي دين، يحتجون بها على الرضا، مع أنها آية البراءة، آية البراءة من الشرك وأهله، جعلوها آية تدل على الرضا وتدل على أنه لا إشكال بيننا وبين هؤلاء. إنها آية جاءت في سورة يتبرأ منها من الكفر وأهله والشرك وأهله. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون، ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد، ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم، ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد، لكم دينكم ولي دين. براءة، هذه براءة من الشرك وأهله، براءة من الكفر وأهله، جعلوها يعني لا بأس، لكم دينكم ولي دين. انظروا انظروا. والآن أصحاب دعوة وحدة الأديان والتقريب بين الأديان يحتجون بمثل هذه الآية التي حجة عليهم لا لهم. قد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه إذ قالوا لقومهم إنا براء منكم ومما تعبدون من دون الله كفرنا بكم، كفرنا بكم وبدا بيننا وبينكم العداوة والبغضاء أبدا حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. هكذا، هذا هو التوحيد، وهذه هي سورة الفاتحة التي اشتملت على التوحيد، والتي لا يقبل الله الصلاة إلا بها، لأنها سورة التوحيد، والتي يقرأها كثير من المسلمين وهم لا يفهمون معناها ولا يفهمون ما فيها من التوحيد، فتجده يقول إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، وهو يدعو غير الله سبحانه، يدعو محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، يدعو الأولياء من دون الله، يذبح لهم من دون الله، يطوف بقبور الأنبياء والأولياء كما يطاف بالكعبة المشرفة، ويتمسح بأركان هذه القبور كما يتمسح بالحجر الأسود الذي لا يضر ولا ينفع. ولولا أننا عرفنا أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قبله واستلمه، ما قبلناه ولا استلمناه، فإننا نعلم كما كان عمر رضي الله عنه يقبله ويقول: أما إني أعلم إنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع، ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. إنه يقبله طاعة لله واتباعا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. فالشرك أعظم الذنوب على الإطلاق، لا يغفر الله لمن مات مشركا، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. من سرق أو زنى ومات على ذلك دون توبة فأمره إلى الله، إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له ما دام موحدا، كما في الحديث الصحيح: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. فسمع أبو ذر هذا الكلام فحجب: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة؟ وفي بعض روايات هذه الأحاديث: من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه، أي ليخرج المنافق. فكلمة خالصا تخرج المنافق، المنافق لا، لأنه ما قالها خالصا من قلبه، قالها فقط بلسانه. أما الموحد فيقولها من قلبه: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. عجب أبو ذر: يا رسول الله، وإن زنى وإن سرق؟ قال: وإن زنى وإن سرق. يا رسول الله، وإن زنى وإن سرق؟ قال: وإن زنى وإن سرق. قال: يا رسول الله، وإن زنى وإن سرق؟ قال: وإن زنى وإن سرق. رغم أنف أبي ذر، أي وإن لم يعجب هذا أبا ذر، وإن وضع أبو ذر أنفه في التراب، رغم أنف أبي ذر، الموحد ينجو من الخلود في النار. أما المشرك فإنه لا يرجى له مغفرة، لا يرجى له أن يخرج من جهنم. المشرك إن مات على الشرك لا يغفر الله له، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، أمره إلى الله. الذي مات موحدا ولكن وقع في الكبائر: زنا، سرقة، شرب خمر، كذا وكذا، أمره إلى الله، إن شاء عذبه عدلا وإن شاء غفر له فضلا. فهو في مشيئة الله، فهو في مشيئة الله يتقلب في مشيئة الله بين عدله وفضله.
الشيخ إخوان جزاه الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليه، he said: verily, verily, that shirk is the greatest sin that someone can fall into. And if we were to ask any one of you, or we were to ask a Muslim, a person who is connected to Al-Islam, do you believe and do you understand that a shirk is the greatest sin? You'll find that people are going to answer in the affirmative, and they're going to say, yes, I understand that a shirk is the greatest sin. The Sheikh said this is the case, but in actuality, we really, really do not conceptualize the true magnitude of the implication of this word, that shirk is the greatest sin that a person can fall into. Do we truly, truly conceptualize haqqan and with sidq, with truthfulness, the reality that shirk is the greatest sin that you can fall into, ala itlaq? I mean, just like that, no questions asked. The person who says, O Isa, O Jibril, O Muhammad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, when the person is calling on them and he's making dua and supplication to them, do we understand that the one who says that, Ya Muhammad, Ya Jibril, Ya Isa, this action of his and this statement of his, he supplicates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and he makes the Messenger of Allah a partner with Allah, given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the special characteristics of Allah, like worship. When a person does that, he has committed it. He has committed a crime that is more severe and more weighty in the scales than the one who is a zani, the one who is a thief, the one who has killed someone intentionally. He is greater than the one who has even killed everyone who's on the face of the earth. If you can imagine that, the one who comes and says, "Ya Isa," he has committed a crime greater than the one who has killed everyone on the face of the earth. Sheikh said, "I remember less than a month ago, I was in the United States, and I was in a place called Rochester, that is close to Canada, Rochester, New York, I believe he's talking about. And I gave the khutbah of Friday there. And the topic of the khutbah was the virtues of a tawheed. He said, in the khutbah, I mentioned that the one who falls into shirk has committed a greater crime than the one who has intentionally, unjustly slaughtered another human being." He said, after the khutbah, a man came to him, one of the Muslims came to him and said, "How can you say that a shirk is greater than killing someone unjustly when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and whoever kills a soul unjustly, or he makes fasad in the earth, it is as if he has killed all of mankind? Whoever kills someone unjustly and he makes fasad in the earth, it is as if he has killed all of mankind." The Shaykh said about this particular person who thought, based on this ayat, that murder was greater than shirk. The Shaykh said to this man, "Yes, what you said is true. Whoever kills someone unjustly and he makes fasad in the earth, this is as if he has killed all of mankind." He said, "But for the person to say, 'Ya Muhammad, this person has committed a greater crime than the one who killed someone and made fasad in the earth,'" he said that the man became astonished and amazed, and he backed up and he saw the astonishment in his face. The Shaykh said, "The reason for this astonishment and this amazement, the reason for this position, the reason for the man behaving in such a way is because he's like everyone else. People don't really understand the magnitude and the seriousness of making shirk, of saying, 'Ya Muhammad, Ya Jibreel, Ya Isa.' This is the case with the Muslim. The proof that the shirk is greater than the one who has killed someone intentionally is like the one who made fasad in the earth, and he has made fasad in the earth, as is like he has killed all the mankind. The proof of that is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, 'And the fitna is greater than murder.' Allah said in the Quran, 'And the fitna too is greater than murder.' And fitna in this ayah is shirk. So Allah has established that shirk is greater than murdering. Murdering a person unjustly. So if a person is a highway robber, or he is a criminal, or he is a murderer, or he is a zani, or he drinks khamr, if he says, 'Ya Isa, Ya Rasulullah, this person is a greater criminal than the other people, and he falls into a greater crime than the other people,' we need to understand and we need to know that the dua or the supplication is a worship that is solely and strictly for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah said in the Quran, 'And verily the masajid are for Allah.' So do not make supplication with Allah with anyone else. Verily the masajid are for Allah. So do not make supplication. Don't make dua, don't call out anyone along with Allah." He said that the masajid have been built for Allah, and the dua that are to be made inside of the masajid are for Allah and Allah alone. So the person, if he calls on Muhammad inside or outside of the masjid, if he said, "Ya Isa" or "Ya Jibreel," then this person has made with Allah a partner, and this is not permissible. Now, Muhammad, Isa, and Jibreel, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, all of them have virtue in who they are. What if the person now was calling on the sun, or the moon, or a cow, or a monkey? Now the case is more severe. So we say, as Allah said in the Quran, do not supplicate with Allah anyone. And this ayat, the Sheikh took the time out to start to explain some linguistic issues that are going on. The ayat says, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not call on anyone along with Allah. Ahad is not al-ahad. It's without the al-tari. It's with ahad. Ahada. So the Shaykh said, this ahad is nakira. Nakira means that it's without the al-tari. He said in usul al-fiqh, the usuliyun came up with a principle from the language of the Arab. And that is, that this nakira is in the siyaq of a nahi. Allah said, فَلَا تَدْعُوا. He prevented you. He said, don't do this. So this is the nahi. And the word ahada is nakira. So anytime you have something that is nakira coming with this way of a nahi, don't do it, then what do we benefit? That it is from the alfaz of the amum. That this is a general statement, and there are no exceptions and no excuses. So if Allah Ta'ala said in this ayat, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, there is no exception. Don't call with Allah anyone else, no matter what the case is. So that's what he wanted to explain. So that shows the danger of falling into shirk. And that's the mushrik, the one who is a polytheist. The polytheist, he is the greatest sinner. And to fall into this shirk is the greatest crime. It's greater than the person having sexual relations with his mother, akramakumullah. It is greater than the man having sexual relations with his maharam, his sister, brother, daughter, aunt, with the people who are connected to him, the women. The one who makes shirk is worse in a crime that he has committed than having relations with his relatives. Now, brothers, everyone, when we hear something like this, it's greater than having sex with his mother or his relative. The person says, ooh, that's evil. As we heard some of you comment, we heard the groans and the grunts. He said, this is the case. But do we truly give the same consideration and contemplation to a shirk as being a greater sin, a greater crime? If we hear of a person having sexual relations with his mother or one of his female relatives who is not halal for him to do so, you will find that some of the people will stand up and they will take his life because of the heinous crime that he has fallen into. But when it comes to the mushrik, the one who has fallen into a greater crime than having sex with his mother or his aunt, you will find that that individual, the Muslim, is easy with him and he fell into shirk. He'll say, and he mentioned the ayat of the Quran, and to every person is the way that we turn him to. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and every person has the way that Allah has turned him to that way. It's as if the person is saying to the kafir, to you your way and to me my way. The other ayat of Surah Al-Kafirun, to you your way and to me my way, as if he is making it minuscule, the fact that he has fallen into shirk. He has a big problem with the man who has relations with his mother, and the mushrik, he doesn't look at it the same way because the people do not contemplate and consider the issues the way that they should be considered. He says to him, to you your religion and to me my religion. Meaning, he makes this ayat and he uses it as a proof to show his being pleased. He makes it an ayat and a position of rida, to be acceptable and to be pleased. When in fact it is an ayat that is an ayat of al-bara'ah. It is an ayat that establishes that the Muslim is free from that. To you is your way on this kufr and on this shirk, and to me is my way on al-Islam and on what is true. And then the Shaykh, he went on to read Surah Al-Kafirun, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad, to those people who are the mushrikun, the kafirun, O you kafirun, you disbeliever, I don't worship that which you worship, nor will you worship that which I worship, And I will never worship that which you are worshiping, nor will you worship that which I worship. To you be your religion, and to me be mine. So the Sheikh was saying that this is a surah of freeing oneself. Once he is on the religion, from the people who are others in the religion of Islam, as long as they are fallen into the religion of kufr and shirk. So this clearly illustrates to us, Ikhwan, how astray those people are who call to the unification of the religion. Ikhwan, listen to the point. The Sheikh said, this clearly illustrates how astray those people are who call and they make claim to the religions being one and the same. They want all of the religions to be united and together. They are straight because they have their way and we have our way. There is a bara'ah between us and them. Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran, verily you have in Ibrahim and those who believe with him a perfect example. When they said to their people, verily we are free from what you worship, we are free from you and what you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have disbelieved in you, and there has appeared between us and you enmity and hatred forever until you worship Allah alone. So the Sheikh said, this is the Tawheed of Al-Islam. This is the oneness of a Tawheed in the religion of Al-Islam. This is Surah Al-Fatiha, the Surah of a Tawheed that establishes the clear line. The Surah that has in it all of the different aspects of a Tawheed. We find that the Muslim, he stands up and he reads this tremendous Surah, and in reading it, he says in his prayer, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You do we worship, Allah, and your aid we seek. We find the Muslim standing up, reading this in his prayer, and yet he turns around and he says, Ya Muhammad. He turns around and starts to make dua to who he believes to be the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He begins to go around the grave, and he worships and he prays to the grave, and he makes supplications in the grave. He circumambulates, he goes around the grave like one would go around the Kaaba. He starts to touch and wipe the grave the way the person wipes the Kaaba, and he holds it in great esteem, and he exalts it. Even though the Kaaba doesn't harm, nor does it benefit, it is what the Prophet has taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, as has been illustrated to us by Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, when he was at the Kaaba, and he went around the Kaaba, and then he went and he kissed the Kaaba, and he said to the Kaaba, verily you do not hurt, you do not harm. You cannot harm, nor can you benefit. Shukran. The black stone, he said, you do not harm, nor do you benefit. And had it not been for the fact that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, I wouldn't have kissed you. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Ikhwan, he kissed the black stone in obedience to Allah azza wa jal, and in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But to worship another rock or anything other than Allah, this is shirk. And the shirk is the greatest sin. Shirk is the greatest sin that Allah Ta'ala will not forgive. If a person dies upon it, he will not be forgiven. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, verily Allah does not forgive that you make shirk with him, but he forgives anything other than that to whoever he wants. So if a person was to steal, or if a person was to fall into zina, his affair is to Allah and with Allah. He is under the mashi'ah of Allah. If Allah chooses, Allah will forgive him. And if Allah chooses, Allah will punish him. If Allah chooses, Allah will forgive him. And if Allah chooses, Allah will punish him. If he dies with a tawheed, he will be under the mashi'ah of Allah. It's up to Allah to judge his affair. And the knowledge of it is with Allah. But if a person dies in shirk, then Allah Ta'ala will never ever forgive him, because the ayat is clear. Verily Allah will not forgive that you make shirk with him, but he will forgive anything other than that to whoever he wants to forgive. And then we have the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, in which the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he said, whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter into paradise. Whoever says that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, he will enter into paradise. This is the hadith of Abu Dharr. There is another narration that said, whoever says La ilaha illallah with sincerity in his heart, he says it in sincerity. Sheikh said that this other narration has come, and what we benefit from the other narration is it knocks out the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who say La ilaha illallah, but they say it for some monetary benefit that they get. They do not say it with sincerity, so it knocks them out. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, he will enter into paradise. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, upon hearing this, he said, O Messenger of Allah, even if the person makes zina and he was to steal, Rasulullah said, even if he made zina, even if he stole. Abu Dharr said again, even if the person made zina and he stole, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, even if he made zina and even if he stole. Abu Dharr said for the third time, Ya Rasulullah, even if he made zina and he stole, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if he made zina and even if he stole, in spite of the nose of Abu Dharr, in spite of you, Abu Dharr, being pleased with it or handling it, in spite of you, may your nose be put in the dirt or not, you, in spite of that, if a person said La ilaha illallah and he died with that with sincerity, he's going to go into paradise. So, for the muwahid, the companion of at-tawheed, the one who has at-tawheed, it is hope that he will go into paradise. It is hope that he is going to go into paradise. As for the mushrik, he will never ever go into paradise as long as he die on a shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he said in the Quran again, verily Allah does not forgive that you make shirk with him, but he forgives whoever he wants other than that, whoever does other than that. So the person is under the mashiach of Allah, and he is, the sheikh said, yataqallab, he is bouncing back and forth. His issue is with Allah. If Allah Ta'ala punishes him, or if Allah forgives him, whatever the case is, Allah punishes him with his adl. Allah was just in punishing that man. And if Allah forgave him, Allah forgave him out of his fadl, out of the virtues, Allah Ta'ala just let him go.
ومهما عذب من مات على الكبائر ولكنه موحد فإنه لا بد في النهاية أن يخرج من النار وأن يدخل الجنة فلا يخلد في النار موحد فمهما عمله الله بعدله أو بفضله فالموحد عاقبته إلى الجنة ولا بد وإن مات على الكبائر وإن دخل النار وإن عذب فيها ما عذب فإنه لا يخلد في النار موحد.
The Shaykh said, no matter what, concerning the one who has died from the kabair, no matter how much he is punished in the hellfire, if he goes to the hellfire, no matter how severe or how much he is punished as a result of his falling into the kabair, no matter what the case is, how much he's punished or how severe, as long as he dies as a muwahid with a tawheed, eventually his end result is that he's going to come out of the hellfire and he will be put in the paradise. The muwahid will not remain in the hellfire forever. Eventually it will be taken out if Allah Ta'ala put him in the hellfire as a result of the adl of Allah, Allah's justice. If he goes to the hellfire, it's because of Allah being just in judging him. And if Allah doesn't put him in the hellfire, it's because of Allah's virtue. Whatever the case is, if he goes into the hellfire and he is punished in the hellfire, no matter how severe, how much, eventually, because of his tawheed, he's going to be taken out of the hellfire.
وإني لا أعتذر إذا كنت قد أسمعتكم مقشعرت له جلودكم من إتيان بعض الناس لمحارمه، ولكن هذا لتشعروا بما هو أعظم، وهو الذي في كتاب الله تعالى، وهو الذي يجب أن تقشعر له الجلود أكثر وأكثر، كما قال الله سبحانه: وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا لقد جئتم شيئا إدا تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا لقد أحصاهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا.
The Sheikh said, listen, I would like to pay attention now. The Sheikh said, I would like to apologize and I would like to be excused if I mention something in this talk that caused bumps to grow on your skin. Something that caused your skin to curl and your skin to move when I mentioned the issue of a man having relation with his female relative. I want to be excused for that. Don't blame me for that. But I mentioned that in order to make you all feel the severity and the seriousness of a person falling into shirk, because it's greater than that. And this is what's in the Kitab, this is what's in the Quran, that when we hear about a person falling into shirk, then this should be the response that our skin has. If you hear about a person who made shirk, I made mention of a man having relations with his relative, that's how you felt. Now the Quran mentions, when you hear about a shirk being done, then that's how your skin should respond. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and they say that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. And they say that Ar-Rahman has taken the son. Verily, the heaven and the earth are about to rent asunder as a result of that. And the mountain, the heavens and the earth are about to split, and the mountains are about to rent asunder, that Ar-Rahman, Allah, would take a son. And it is not befitting for him to take a son. Verily, the heavens and the earth and everything in it will come to Allah as a slave. Allah Ta'ala said, verily the heavens and the earth and everything in it are the slaves of Allah. And he has counted them and he brought them forth. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, they all will come to him as sincere worshippers.
ولذلك أيضا نقول إن كثيرا من الناس لجهلهم بهذه الحقيقة أن الشرك أعظم الظلم، جل الله هذه الحقيقة في كتابه في وصية لقمان لولده، قال: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. أعظم الظلم هو الشرك، الشرك أعظم من كل ظلم، أعظم من كل ذنب، أعظم الظلم هو الشرك. وقد فهم طائر ما لم يفهمه كثير ممن ينتسبون إلى الإسلام اليوم، حتى ممن ينتسبون إلى الدعوة،
فقالوا إن شرك القصور أعظم من شرك القبور، وقالوا إن شرك القبور هذا شرك قديم ساذج أو شرك تقليدي، أو الكلام في هذا الموضوع كلام جاف. إنهم يريدون تحويل الأمر إلى صراعات سياسية، يصارعون أهل الدنيا على دنياهم ويزعمون أن هذا هو التوحيد. لقد فهم هدهد سليمان الحقيقة التي جليتها في هذا الدرس، أن الشرك أعظم الظلم. فعندما رأى مملكة سبأ، ومعروف أن هذه المملكة ما كانت تحكم بكتاب الله، ما كانت تحكم بالشرع، ما كانت تحكم بحكم الله سبحانه، ففيها من الظلم السياسي والاجتماعي والاقتصادي ما فيها، وهؤلاء القوم فيهم من البلاء ما فيهم، لابد أنه كان فيهم من يسرق ومن يزني ومن يشرب الخمر، وفيهم قطاع الطرق، وفيهم المفسدون في الأرض، وفيهم القتلة، وفيهم وفيهم. لكن هذا الهدهد الذي هو طائر رجع إلى سليمان عليه السلام ليقول له: إني وجدت امرأة تملكهم وأوتيت من كل شيء ولها عرش عظيم، وجدتها وقومها يسجدون للشمس من دون الله. لم يقل وجدتها وقومها يحكمون بغير ما أنزل الله، وجدتها وقومها يزنون، وجدتها وقومها يشربون الخمر، وجدتها وقومها يظلمون الرعية ويأكلون أموال الناس بالباطل، وجدتها وقومها يقتلون، وجدتها وقومها يفعلون. كل هذه ذنوب وكل هذه كبائر، ولكن ذكر هذا الهدهد أعظم الظلم وأعظم الفساد، وهو سجودهم للشمس من دون الله. فهل هذا الهدهد كان ساذجا؟ والله إن هذا الهدهد أعرف بالتوحيد من كثير ممن ينتسبون إلى الدعوة في هذا الزمان. إن هذا الهدهد أعرف بدين الله من كثير ممن يركبون المنابر ويرفعون أصواتهم وهم لا يعرفون الإسلام، لا يعرفون التوحيد، يعدون هذا شركا بدائيا، شركا ساذجا. وإذا كان الهدهد كذلك، فكيف يقبل منه نبي الله سليمان؟ بل هذا الهدهد زاد الأمر وضوحا لما قال: وجدتها وقومها يسجدون للشمس من دون الله. قال: ألا يسجدوا لله، ألا يسجدوا لله الذي يخرج الخبأ في السماوات والأرض. سبحان الله، الهدهد فهم التوحيد، الهدهد عرف أن الشرك أعظم الذنوب. أما نحن فلا نفهم ذلك، وحياتنا وأمورنا تدل على أننا لا نفهم ذلك. حتى من يقر منا بالجمل نظريا فإنه لا يتصورها عمليا، لا يتصورها حقا وصدقا كما هي وكما ينبغي أن تتصور. أمر تكاد السماوات تتفطر منه، وتنشق الأرض، وتخر الجبال هدا، ونحن نعده أمرا بسيطا. بل إن بعضهم زاد الطين بلة كما يقال، فقال: لا داعي للكلام في هذه المواضيع، نحن أحوج ما نكون إلى جمع الكلمة، فشرك يجمعنا خير من توحيد يفرقنا. بعضهم قالها بلسان المقال، بعضهم قالها بلسان الحال، وبعضهم تجرأ حتى نطق بها بلسان المقال. لأن نبقى على الشرك ولكننا مجتمعون أفضل من أن ندعو إلى التوحيد الذي يتسبب في فرقتنا وتشتتنا وتشرذمنا. إخوة الإسلام، ما أحوجنا للنظر في كتاب الله بتفكر وتدبر. وهذه السورة نحن نقرأها في كل صلاة، بل في كل ركعة. ما أحوجنا لتأملها، ما أحوجنا لتدبرها، وفيها من الفوائد والحكم الكثير والكثير. ولكن هذا ما اتسع له المقام. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله.
And now, Ikhwan, the Sheikh finished
the most important talk that has been given so far. He said, after that we will say to you, many of the people, because of their ignorance concerning the issue of a shirk, and many of the people, because of their ignorance in the deen, they do not recognize and understand that a shirk is the greatest crime and it is the greatest sin. We want to ask the brothers to calm down, sit down, pay attention here. He said that for this reason, the importance of a tawheed and the danger of shirk, for this reason, Allah Ta'ala has made it in the Quran the wasiyah, the advice, the words of wisdom that Sulaiman, salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi wa ala nabiyyina, Sulaiman has given this advice to his son when he said, oh, my young son, Luqman said to his son, oh, my young son, do not make shirk with Allah. Do not make shirk. For verily, shirk is a great... Verily, the shirk is a great oppression. So Luqman has given this as the wasiyah to his son. So ikhwan, a shirk is the greatest sin. And it is the greatest thing that the person can fall into. And what I find to be amazing is the fact that the bird has understood the issue that many people who are connected to the religion of Al-Islam, they don't understand. And not only many people who are connected to Al-Islam don't understand it, but even those people who lay claim to being the caller of Al-Islam, they don't understand. The bird has understood the significance of a tawheed and the danger and the evil of a shirk. He had these people who get on the manabir, who get on the minbar, and they shout out and they say that the shirk of the castle is greater than the shirk of the grave. They say this whenever the du'as of a tawheed come and they start teaching and elucidating about a tawheed. They say this issue about tawheed is old. These are from the old issues that are ancient, and this kalam is dry. You don't want to hear this kalam. So as a result of that, they are pushed to say shirk of the castle is greater than shirk of the grave. And the shirk of the castle means what the leaders are doing, the hukam are doing. It's greater than the shirk that the Muslims are doing, as the Sheikh mentioned, praying towards the grave and praying towards the awliya. The Sheikh said the intent and the desire that these people have behind this ludicrous claim is that they have political agenda and they want to wrestle with the people of politics. They want to wrestle with the politicians by way of the religion. They want to use the religion as a vehicle that will help them to assume their political agenda. The bird that we're talking about is the bird of Sulaiman, the Hudhud bird of Sulaiman. The Hudhud bird, when he went forth on a reconnaissance for Sulaiman, he went to the kingdom of Saba. The Sheikh said, and what is known about these people in this place of Saba is that they did not judge by what Allah revealed. And since they didn't judge by Allah's divinely revealed law, you can safely assume that there was oppression in all types of colors. There was political oppression, there was economic oppression, there was social oppression. There were people who stole, there were people who consumed khamr, there were people who were murderers, there were people who were highway robbers. All of that was present. When the Hudhud bird went forth and it came back to Sulaiman, the Hudhud said, verily I have found a woman and her people. They have been given, I have found a woman who has been given everything. And she has a great and tremendous throne. I saw her and her people making sajda to the sun. Did the Hudhud bird say to Sulaiman, I saw them committing zina, I saw them drinking khamr. I saw them oppressing the people they were responsible for, the ra'iyah, the regular people in their kingdom, their subjects. All of this was going on. All of the kaba'ir, it was happening because they did not judge by what Allah revealed. So why didn't the Hudhud bird come back and say to Sulaiman and pay attention to this? Why didn't he come and say, I saw them making zina, I saw them drinking khamr, I saw them oppressing their subjects? No. The Hudhud left all of those issues alone and concentrated on one issue, the greatest thing. The Hudhud said, I saw them making sajda to the sun, because the sajda to the sun is the greatest crime, and as a result, the consequences of it are going to make the greatest fasad. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, did Sulaiman consider the Hudhud bird and the word that the Shaykh used and implied that the people are foolish or ignorant, the savage? He said, did Sulaiman consider the Hudhud bird mentioning this thing about Tawheed as being foolish and insignificant? No. The Hudhud bird was more knowledgeable than many of the people who are upon the Manabir, and many of the people who raise their voices calling for the rectification of this and the rectification of that. And clearly, in the fact that Sulaiman accepted from the Hudhud bird the narration about the Shams and then making sajda to the Shams, it goes to show that what she mentioned was not what Sulaiman considered to be baatil. He said, I found her and her people making sajda to the Shams. And then the Hudhud bird went a step further in clarifying the issue. And the Hudhud bird said, why don't they make sajda to Allah, the one who has brought forth seed in the heavens? And so the Hudhud bird had a desire for the people to be upon a tawheed. So Ikhwan, we have to truly give the proper consideration and contemplation to the evil and to the greatness of a shirk. The issue that the heavens are about to split and the earth will split open and the mountains will rent asunder as a result of the people falling into this thing. The Shaykh said in his completion of the Kalam, he said, and there are some people who zadatin bellam. That means if you have dirt and you have some water in the dirt, you guys with me? If you have some water in the dirt, but it's mud, someone comes down with a lot of water and they pour it in the mud and they make it more. They make a bigger problem now. The Shaykh used this method. He said, there are some people who have done this. There's already a problem. They come with water and they pour more water in the mud. Now it's all over the place. He said, how do they do that? They say this statement. The shirk that connects us and makes us united is better than the tawheed that divides us. So if you see people on shirk, don't mention it as long as they're together. Everyone can believe what you want to believe. You make dua, whatever. As long as we're together, leave that, because that shirk, since we're united, is better than the tawheed. That when you start mentioning teaching the tawheed, people are going to split up. He said that that shirk is better than the tawheed that divides us. So some people say this statement by their condition. They may be quiet while the people are committing shirk, they don't say anything. So their condition implies this statement. And some people say it without any shyness, but they say it with jara'ah. They come forward and they just say it without any shyness, that this shirk that keeps us united is better than the tawheed that divides us. So he said, brothers, my beloved brothers, we are in so much need of returning to the book of Allah and reading it, contemplating it, considering its message, deeply looking into its meaning, so that we can feel the benefits and the wisdom that are contained therein. We read this Surah Al-Fatiha, every day, but do we truly give Al-Fatiha its due consideration? And with that, we thank the Shaykh for his presentation today, and you brothers as well, for your good listening and your good etiquette. And we ask Allah عز وجل to make us of those people who are truthful and word indeed. قولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد.